All right, welcome back to Extra Innings. The Giants winning at Oracle Park today. 7 runs on 11 hits, 1 error. San Diego Padres, 1 run, 6 hits, 1 error. The Giants now are 20 wins, 13 losses in first place over the San Diego Padres by 2.5 games. Well, last night, the Giant fans were at Oracle Park. On Thursday, Willie Mays turned 90 years old, and the San Francisco Giants rolled it out yesterday, and they celebrated the greatest living legend in baseball. And who do I want to talk to about that is John Shea. He's online right now, so let me bring in John Shea. Good afternoon, John. How are you?
Good, Bill. How are you doing?
Glad you got to jump on with me today. You saw the smile. You saw him laughing. He was engaging with fans. What did you notice with a happy Willie Mays yesterday?
Yeah, he really lit up the place. Big game Willie, right? I mean, in the moment, no one's better. And by the way, the Giants are undefeated since he turned 90. So
that's good.
No, it was a glorious, you know, the Giants always do events like that well, dating back to Peter McGowan and his love for Willie. I mean, Peter McGowan is the guy who really started all these reunions and ceremonies and pregame, in-game, really appreciating the history. I mean, McGowan goes back to New York with Willie, and as a 9-year-old, I think it was 55 or 54 maybe, you know, his dad took him to the Polo Ground. So he saw Willie for the first time. And his story is, you know, Peter is a 9-year-old, just, you know, you're looking pregame and there's Willie Mays out in center field. You don't take your eye off him. And he said, time after time after time after time, the coach would hit him fly balls and Willie would throw one bouncers perfectly thrown into the glove of Alvin Dark right there at third base.
Wow.
Over and over and over. And McGowan sort of equated it to if a kid goes and sees the Warriors pregame and watches Steph, you know, nail 20 threes in a row. So, you know, that was a lasting impression with McGowan. And, you know, although years later he organized that group that bought out Bob Lurie. And one of the first things he did was put up a May statue and give him a lifetime contract. So, and that all goes to, you know, still going on with, you know, Larry Bear and Mario and all the guys in the front office who carry on that tradition of honoring history.
Well, John, I know you put a lot of energy and electricity in getting people to wish him a happy birthday. We had the presidents. We had past presidents, movie stars. You had Snoop Dogg calling him Uncle Willie. You had Tom Brady's football. You had so many people in basketball, Kerr and Curry, baseball. The MLB stars came out. Tell me what I'm missing. I've seen so many great birthday wishes, and, of course, you and the Chronicle did a fabulous job.
Yeah, that was fun. It seemed every inning there was another three guys. I thought it was over, and then at the very end, you know, you see Tony Bennett and Costas and Robin Roberts. You know, what a collection of different worlds and different eras. And you know what, Bill? Everybody has a Willie Mays story. And by the way, you kind of intersect this whole story because, if I'm not mistaken, 1986 was your final year as a Giant, and that was Willie's first year coming back into the organization, right? After he left the Mets and he was suspended.
Yeah, he couldn't come in because he was working with the casinos, Atlantic City. He couldn't come to the ballpark. I'm pretty sure that was the story.
Nice move by Bowie Kuhn to suspend Willie Mays and Mickey Mantle for their association with gamblers. And now
they couldn't make any money,
you know, force
I guess.
You to gamble. You show up at the game, and here's your card. And, you know, who do you got in the second inning? But back then, all those guys did was play golf, sign autographs, hang out with clients. And there was no pension. There was no free agency then. They couldn't benefit. So that was their gig, making money. And Bowie Kuhn suspends them. And then Peter Ueberroth replaces him in late 84 after he ran the Olympics in L.A. that year. And then early 85, he brought both those guys back into the game. Who wouldn't? And the best PR move of all time. And then a year later, he's back with the Giants. So this is like 35 years. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, plus 21 as a player. 57 years with the organization. That's not bad.
You know, John, somebody asked me when I first met Willie Mays, and I said 1982, they had the old-timers game. Remember those? Willie Mays would be out there. McCovey, Marichal was pitching, Tito was at second. And you know, you saw them all in uniform, and they were all in great shape. And those were fun times back at Candlestick when they had old-timers games. Do you remember those?
Yeah, and there's a clip going around, Willie Mays in his 50s in a Mets uniform, because I think it's played in New York, in which a ball is hit way out to left field, and the left fielder is just kind of staring up in the sky, and Willie comes out of nowhere and makes this diving catch and tumbles over a bat. It was basically a backhanded basket catch in his 50s, out of nowhere. It's just incredible, right? I mean, shoot, so you put a glove on him last night, he'd go out and go 2-for-4.
Well, the Giants showed him in spring training with Kevin Mitchell, showing him how to go to the wall, and literally Willie went up and leaped over the wall, and Mitchell said, "What? You leaped over the wall?" And he goes, "Hey, I'm old, but I got energy, my friend." And it was so funny because Mitch had his mouth wide open, and I remember him coming to spring training. McCovey was down there with the first baseman. Mays was there. We had a bunch of pitchers coming in, but, you know, that's one thing the Giants did all the way back in my era was guys came in, and you got to talk to him, you know, sit at the picnic tables and just make conversation. And Willie was always there. And I always talk about the first time shaking his hand, how strong he was, how big he was, and the forearms he had. And he used to just say, "I'll crush your hand if you don't squeeze it hard enough," you know, because he wants that firm handshake. And all the stories and all the events I did with him, just story after story, I used to tell people, "Don't say anything. Let him talk. Let him talk." And you know it. I mean, you did a book on him. That's what I wanted to ask you. How was he when he started doing conversations? Did you just bring up a subject and let him go with it, or did you have parameters that you wanted to put in order?
Well, both, I guess. You know, I came in with a plan for a particular chapter on a particular conversation session with him at his home or spring training or up in a suite, whatever, or over the phone back then. And he kind of ran with it, but then he took it to another level. And I said, "Oh, that's interesting. So let me check with Whitey Ford to see about him you know, accelerating that storytelling." Or and you know, Bill Greason, his teammate with the 48 Black Barons, and you know, to basically complement Willie's stories. And that was the whole art of it, and the joy of it was talking to all these legends. Because, by the way, when you leave a message for somebody and say it's about Willie Mays, everybody calls. You know, it's not like my day job where you hope you know, you're working on a news story and you put out 10 feelers and hope 5 of them come back. That's a great day. But with Willie, it's like 10 for 10. You know, it's like, you know, presidents call back and Hall of Famers and commissioners and Negro Leaguers and, you know, teammates, foes, everybody. And that's the joy of it, because everyone has, like I said, a Willie story. What's yours?
Well, I want to tell viewers out there listening, the book we're talking about is 24, and John Shea wrote it as a biography of Willie Mays, and it's Life Stories and Lessons from the Say Hey Kid. Please get out there and look at it. It's on a best-selling list in the New York area, but it's just, you know, it just talks about Willie and his heart and soul, and, you know, all I hear is about is I want to help people, and you and I both know he helps so many people. He doesn't want any pats on his back. He doesn't want anything. He just loves people. He loves fans. He loves to talk to people. And one of the coolest things he ever said is, "I never got a chance to go to college, and now they have a college scholarship for him." Tell me a little bit about that. I know you know a lot of that.
Yeah, you're right. And that's kind of a regret with Willie. You know, he's a quarterback in football, kind of a short guard in basketball, you know, and he called baseball his third best sport in high school. Yet he was playing for the legendary Birmingham Black Barons. And his dad's, you know, "Where are you going to go as a black quarterback? Where are you going to go as a short guard?" So baseball it was. And, hey, don't pitch, don't catch, play every day, don't get hurt. So, okay, I'll play shortstop. And then eventually he moved to center field. It's pretty crazy how it all evolved. And the stories from the Black Barons. And isn't it amazing that Willie Mays is 90 and he's with us, and he's one of two men still around who played Major League Baseball and also played through the 1948 season in the Negro Leagues. The other one, who I mentioned, Bill Greason, his teammate with Birmingham, who's actually 96 years old and going strong in Birmingham still as a pastor who, you know, says a sermon every Sunday, and he fought in Iwo Jima. He was the first black pitcher on the St. Louis Cardinals, a, you know, three-time over, an American hero. And those are the only two guys who are with us. And that year, by the way, is the year that Major League Baseball says will count. All the years up until 1948 will count, you know, for Major League Baseball statistics. Willie hit a home run that year. He's only 17. He was a part-time guy. Yeah. He hit a bunch more in 49 and 50. But why do you break it off at 48? Why don't you include the other years statistically with Major League Baseball? Because that was the last year of the Negro League World Series, and Willie Mays played in it.
Wow. That voice you hear on Extra Innings is John Shea, a good friend of mine, as we continue to honor Willie Mays, as the Giants did last night at Oracle Park, wishing him a happy birthday. He turned 90 on Thursday. One of the things that was in the Chronicle that you were talking about, John, was the insight of the 10 Hall of Famers that he talked that have passed away in the last year to year and a half. And he talked about a lot of them. He talked about, you know, Hank Aaron and his laughter and so many different things about each Hall of Famer, from Lou Brock to Bob Gibson. Tell me your vision on what he had to say about that.
Yeah, I sort of did a big story in Thursday's Chronicle based on a conversation I had with him recently at his home. And, you know, the world has changed a lot in the past year since the pandemic. And, you know, last time, you know, the Giants players and managers and coaches saw Willie was in the 2020 spring training, when he used to visit the clubhouse before every home game at Scottsdale Stadium. Well, then baseball shut down and, you know, Willie went home and everyone else went home, and the baseball was shut down till July. So all these months have gone by, and, you know, it's the first time we saw Willie at the ballpark was last night. So that was the beauty of it. The whole, I mean, the Hall of Famers are, I mean, they're all like brothers, and these are all guys who played with, against, or at least in the same era as Willie. We lost 10 Hall of Famers since the beginning of the pandemic until now, and I mean, Joe Morgan was like, was looked up to Willie so much, and a kid who grew up in Oakland, whose dad took him to Seal Stadium, and when he made it to the majors, Willie called him over during BP and said, "Hey, call me after the season, we'll hang out." And Joe said, "Yeah, okay," you know, thinking, "Yeah, right, that's going to happen." And then after the season, Willie calls him and says, "Joe, man, why don't you call me?" And I said, "Well, you're serious?" So Joe goes over to his home. And, you know, he loads up his car, you know, he's there for hours. You know, he leaves with golf clubs and shirts and all this stuff that Willie has has collected over the years. Because, you know, Willie, I mean, everybody, Chris Spire tells me this story about how in 1971 he was a rookie. And Willie said, "Hey, meet me in the lobby. We're going to go shopping." So they're in New York on a road trip. And Spire and Willie go, you know, the fashion section of town. And Spire realizes that people see Willie, and they all come out of the storefronts and offer, "Hey, Willie, try this on. You want this? You want this? Not, hey, do you want to buy it? Do you want to have it?" And then Willie says, "Hey, you're going to take care of my boy, you know, Chris." And it spires all. It's like Elvis Presley. I mean, wherever he goes, it's like all eyes are on him. And this was, you know, this was after, you know, after Willie played in New York. But man, that, again, everyone's got a story. And Willie went down all the Hall of Famers with me. Whitey Ford, you got to look at the stats of what he did against him in all-star games, like six straight hits over a few years of the 62 series. He ate him up alive. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Hank was like a little brother, just 3 years younger. And Willie always played down the rivalry and said he was my buddy. People laughed at the thought of that, but we didn't care. You know, we laughed at the thought of that because we didn't care. But, yeah, I mean, Lou Brock, Willie stole, you know, had four straight years of leading the league in steals before Lou. So basically, you know, he predated all these guys and did things that these other guys kind of built on, you know, in every facet of the game. So, you know, it's kind of sad that the folks have passed, but in Willie's mind, it's always, hey, you know, let's keep looking ahead. Let's keep charging. Let's keep making the world a better place. You know, say, hey, Foundation, that Willie Mays Scholars thing you just mentioned, which gives, it just was announced Thursday, and it gives, you know, five kids in the city who are needy and maybe wouldn't make it through school otherwise. And there are a couple of nonprofits on board with the Giants and Willie who are going to push, you know, five kids a year, and maybe it'll grow from there. But, you know, scholarship at the end of the rainbow as well. And, Willie said, yeah, use my name, you know, if that's going to help. Because Willie's story is, you know, the same thing. I mean, he didn't grow up with a lot at all.
They flashed his stats up there yesterday, and Kruk and Kuiper talking about the 24 All-Star games, the 12 Gold Gloves. I mean, these things won't happen again. You won't see a player of this magnitude, you know, play that long as well as he did. And then you 2,992 games. It's on the ninth, you know, ranking of it. And just timely things about Willie Mays and all the great players he played with as teammates. Gaylord Perry talked about it so many times by saying, you didn't see this man play 162 games. I did. And he was just fabulous in every act of the game. Tito Fuentes is another one that said he took Tito in and showed him the ropes too. And tell me just a couple more minutes of the teammates that you talked to that played with Willie.
Well, Felipe, Orlando, Tito, Chris. I mean, for the sake of this sports section on Thursday, the Sporting Green, you know, we talked to dozens, you know, presidents and secretaries of state, musicians, but for the book, it was more like 200 people. And this goes back to all his buddies from childhood on. And, you know, my favorite stat, you mentioned playing 162. My favorite Willie Mays stat is 13 straight years, he played 150 games. So the streak from, you know, from 54 to 66. So those 13 years, 150 games every year, and most of that streak during the 154 game season. And nobody ever did that. Nobody's ever done it. Not even Cal Ripken Jr. say he could play, that he played 150 games plus over 13 straight seasons. And those weren't just showing up and playing. Those were showing up in those 13 straight years. He was top six in MVP 12 times.
Wow.
He won two of them. And we have a whole chapter devoted to how those stats that he put up would be evaluated, valued today. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the smart people I speak with in interviews say, man, he could have or should have won 8 to 11 MVPs. I mean, the war, everyone talks about war now, right? Well, a 10 war season is fabulous. And that encompasses, you know, running and defending and hitting for power, getting on base, slugging, everything. So he obviously was the best overall player. So war, I mean, we're talking about war, right? And he averaged a 10 war season over 7 years. And nobody, and Bonds has done it like three times. Mookie once, Trout a couple times.
Yeah.
You know, it's only been done like eight times since 2000 by hitters. But that's
remarkable.
But over those 13 years, he averaged 9 war. You know, a 10 war season is like a superstardom. And he averaged that over those 13 years.
Yeah, I remember, John, one time when he was playing an All-Star game, somebody wanted to take him out of the game, and he goes, hey, I'm here to play 9 innings. I want to win the game. Mm-hmm. And that was just so funny because, you know, these guys play one inning and they're out of the game. And he's like, no, I'm here as an All-Star. I want to play every inning. You know, so.
A couple times 10 innings.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. That's right. Well, John Shea, thank you so much for joining me today. I just wanted the fans to hear a little bit more as we honor Willie Mays on his 90th birthday. And you're the person I knock on the door to. And thank you again for joining us. I appreciate your time and great stories and a fantastic book, 24. People, get out there and purchase this book. It's really good stuff about Willie Mays. But have a great night, John, and we'll be in touch
as the season
continues.
For sure. Much appreciated.
Okay, John Shea joining us on Extra Innings.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville?
Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see, good for my career. Send me to rehab, though. So that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.